Retro Rob, and this is the podcast with less class in a community college. It's Guys, Games, and Beer!
Yes!
Woo!
I represent
this.
Yeah,
me
too.
Graduated community college,
don't have me
know.
Me too! That's why I make fun of it.
Oh, wait a minute.
It's our toilet and only we can sit in it.
Wow. That's right. Damn straight. Today we're going to talk about, a restroom. Today we're going to talk about a topic near and dear to my heart. And it's the system or game that has changed the way you play. Or, of course, you can always pass if you want to even play.
This is an easy topic.
This is my topic.
I know, but you know, it's us.
No, but I do have
more research.
Okay, I'm going to go both on this. I do have a show and tell, though, tonight, too. It's an important show and tell, though, okay?
I thought you were saving that one for the second.
No, I got something for the second show, too. I got two show and tells.
That's fine.
We'll
let you go. All right.
I've been spending.
Let's start it up with Matt.
Oof.
that didn't sound confident. I'm not confident.
Oof.
Easy topic, Matt.
Well, I can think of one off the top of my head, and it was, of course, it was Knights of the Old Republic, as it always is.
Like the original?
Yeah, the first one.
How did that shape you,
Matt? It changed the way that I play RPGs. It changed what I expected out of them. It changed how I played them entirely. I don't think I've ever played any game more than that.
Yeah,
game so far. I beat it, I think, 7 or 8 times.
There were definitely other BioWare games out before, but that was really the one that kind of put it on the map because it had Star Wars attached to it.
Yep. Okay, so, because we're all talking about hardware platforms, now you've played on multiple platforms.
I played a few hours on the Xbox. I never had an Xbox myself, but
right.
That's where I first was exposed to it.
Right,
but then I played
it
almost
out
all of it on the PC. All
right. Did you see a lot of difference in the gaming experience from the Xbox to the PC? I mean,
it was a lot easier to control on the PC for sure.
Okay, so if you would have played on the Xbox, you would have been as informative? I would say no. The control system on the Xbox wasn't all that great.
Yeah.
It really was at that point it's just another beat 'em up.
It wasn't.
Not even close, not at all, actually.
But they it was really a gateway to how games like Dragon Age were played on the Xbox. Because Dragon Age is the exact same style of play as Knights of the Old Republic games. They just don't use the D20 system like KOTOR did. That's basically the same thing.
The Baldur's Gate series really pioneered that turn-based, like real-time turn-based plus pause concept back in the 90s.
Yes, but I never played those.
Wow, you're missing that.
I do have to say that engine, the way that BioWare did things, really did a balance of balancing action-based gameplay and narrative gameplay.
Yep.
Struck a very good chord in the center.
And they've been able to keep that up, I think, over the past 10 years.
Yeah,
it's really changed the way that I take in RPGs. You know, it's the more we have questions like that, the more we're going to talk about BioWare. So
that's wonderful, Justin.
Oh my God. okay, so it's a game that
not necessarily
game,
no, or console
platform.
Yeah, it could be a whole style of platform.
That like formed your...
Yeah, just change how your... Yeah.
Okay, well it's gotta be Super Nintendo and Super Metroid. Wow.
Yes, it frustrated you to the point where you got angry at a game and wanted to throw your controller.
It made me furious, but it also made me obsessed. To where when I'm the type of person that when I play one of those games, I have to do all of the side quests and get all of the items. And that is the reason why, is because of that one problem.
Yeah.
If I had to, you know, like I wanted to make sure I got all the stupid shit so that Seth Samus can do all of the,
Yeah.
I mean, is that what we're looking
that
for?
That was hard. Yeah. That's a good one.
I could formulate me into one of those people that's like, doing the main thing, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you mean I could go all the way over there for this stupid
waste
countless hours doing that.
You get a trick card.
Right. And that's how I am with every game, like Dragon Age, Zelda, everything. I have to go and do all of the things for a boss.
It's frustrating.
You and Larry.
Hey, at least you have the most money in your game.
Exactly.
Right. And that's why I played KOTOR so many times, because I just tried to beat it as many different ways as possible. It's the exact same thing, except mine came much later in life, unfortunately. I was just
telling you. I was going to say, I was kind of surprised you picked one that's so new.
When you never had video games.
Well, you had EverQuest.
My first system was PlayStation.
I know, but you had EverQuest forever.
Yeah, but like, that's still like 1996, give or take. Like, that's not that much. Almost 20 years.
I was more of a casual player up until I started PC gaming, though.
Yeah. Or like, I remember a lot of Counter-Strike.
Yeah! Oh, so much Source.
Man. As soon as you were asked, that's what I thought you were going to say. Well, I was going to say Counter-Strike because he dedicated
his entire life to it. I was
going to say
Counter-Strike because it turned him into a dick. Because there's so many dicks.
Turned me into a dick.
Oh, man. Counter-Strike's like...
your dickness.
It's like the holy... It's like the holy...
That's
land
hard,
for
yes,
you know.
Like
man, right. Oh man, was I a dick in that game?
I think that was the like the defining, multiplayer FPS of the late 90s.
Yeah, it was.
For dicks. Yes.
That was the first game
I think I played where I was blocked away going, man. These people are dicks. Yeah. These people are dicks. But anyway.
Yep.
That was, yep.
I'm gonna go more with a concept necessarily than a thing. I'm gonna talk about the early 2000s and just the proliferate, like, you know, people always talk about, you know, open world games, you know, modern day Skyrim and all that, but the early 2000s was really the peak. Well, not the peak, but it was like, that was what I mean, it's maybe
the
talking, yes, but nothing compares to, you know, in the space of what, like 3 years, you had Morrowind, you had GTA 3, I mean, you just had, there were just so many different games where, like, you could do whatever the hell you wanted in any context, and, like, there was still a game to it, like, you know, shit, you know, there were numbers and shit happened, and I'm just saying, like, that was... fucking crazy.
Yeah, it is a personal
thing. Yeah, there's like, I think like that, the early 2000s was like 3 or 4 years where I just holed away in a basement.
Yeah.
Entire summers were gone.
Yeah.
You know, like, you get off of school and you would just fucking game until
the amount of time I spent downloading mods for Morrowind.
Yeah.
Like, nowadays, like, you know, you try to figure out, going, well, you know, I'll download this, that, then you spend, you know, 3 hours later, you spent so much time downloading mods, you're like, well, now, I don't know, I don't really feel like playing anymore, like,
right?
Fuck, I'm just tired now.
Yeah, and it's like, that
great.
The
day, then
it's like during the weekends, like, oh, I get to play all the time I want, and you wake
up, I have gigabytes in my game, and
you're like, oh, shut the lights out.
Incredible.
Is that the sun?
Right. And games like that were great because they were the first ones to grab you and kick you on the ass and give you three rolls and say, all right, don't let the door hit your ass on the way out. And that's
Morrowind
it. That was the game.
Yeah. Like, that was, hey, go to Belmora, dude. Buy this shirtless drug addict.
Yeah. Where is that? Who are you talking
jump
about?
The whole way there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on.
I see.
Oh.
All right.
Mike.
So, Mike. Who?
All right. I'm gonna have to go with the Super Nintendo. My game is different. I'm gonna go with the Kirby's Shadow Star Saga. It was the first ever game that I actually owned.
Well, that is a difference.
And also it was like it's kind of like in a way like kind of like a cheap experience because there's always a percentage in the game to show how much like with the game like all the games you beat in it because it was 7 games in 1.
And so now you had a reward for actually.
Yeah, and I was like, I was trying to 100% this as a little kid, and the cool part was, you could have a second player as a buddy, so you could hook up and play with your buddy and play the game with a friend.
So you're saying it had everything.
It had everything I wanted as a little kid. I got to play with my buddies. They didn't have to sit there and watch me play a game. They could join up.
Which is always retarded, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not as fun. And it had different games. And also, it was fun to try to get that 100%. I never have gotten it yet.
We're going on this end. We're going around. We're going to be on this end.
Right there.
Atari 2600. Okay, so, I grew up.
It had scores!
that too. But I grew up, my game came of age in the late 80s, right. Sorry, the early 80s, late 70s. So you were going out to arcades, literal arcades, and playing on the quarters all damn day long. And then the Atari 2600. So I could play the games that I was playing at the arcade.
Don't you love the idea of the Atari 2600 and arcade quality graphics? But Space Invaders was low.
But back then, there were
Asteroids.
Certain games that were quite good. Right, exactly. Exactly, compared to what you were actually playing at the arcade. So,
the Atari version was probably better because of all the choices you had.
Yeah, right, you had multiple levels, you had multiple game
and the graphics were actually probably
I'm not gonna better. Lie, like seeing like my dad back then too, keep going to like old like nostalgia like arcades and stuff like that, seeing that old man play Asteroids is like the coolest thing.
I don't know, like,
this is fingers are going.
Oh, it's all grand.
Exactly. But so again, it basically was okay. I don't have to drop my paycheck at the frickin' arcade. I can actually stay home.
I can drop it on the Atari.
Well,
my newspaper money,
yeah,
you know.
Well, but you could drop a lot of cash that way. But again, so that was really the pivotal game system. That one changed the way I play games.
As a younger person. Were arcade games really that simplistic back then? Like, I don't know, I think
it was
Invaders.
I saw the time, and I mean, my regular was like the 90s, but like it was specialized hardware running a particular, like, you know.
They did Tapper.
And Tapper was later than
really?
Yeah. Tapper, right, but
it was like,
even that was simple compared to what I was playing in 1980.
But then, is it responsible for the fall of the arcade then?
Yes.
The
nail in the coffin, yes.
Yeah.
But I I'm gonna make a little diversion from hardware because I also have a show and tell.
Okay.
So, you guys have got to see this because it's freaking amazing. I have you for just a second.
He's gonna pull out his pants.
I'm gonna pull out my pants on camera. So
that is an excellent box.
Here's why you watch Amazon. So this box cost me $6. You know what this box is?
I couldn't even begin to imagine.
Dude, this box is a
Chinese hooker.
Is a case of pinball controllers for the iPad.
Oh no shit!
They are effing amazing.
Nice.
So,
and it's a whole.
These were like $70 a piece when they first came out. Okay.
What?
I literally got a case for $6 Prime delivered. That's yours. Okay. Here's the deal with that, because I know you have an iPad.
Yeah.
You have to keep it and bring it to the next Midwest Gaming Classic because we're gonna use one of the PCs that you have one. You get one too. No, we didn't have to hack them, dude. Travis already got it running on his tablet with no problem. You don't have to hack them. So
What do you need for this, though? I mean,
nothing. It's yours.
No, you can just give this thing.
Yeah, dude.
You got it for $6.
Wait till you play pinball on it. It's really amazing. So
really
I literally bought two cases. $6 delivered.
Well,
a case. I'm buying two cases. I'll hack them. I'll throw them away for that price. So
it's cheaper than it.
We can give one away.
I'm just gonna tell you right now. This will be one of the prizes at next year's Midwest Gaming Classic for all you iPad users. That'll be part of the black box.
Yeah, awesome. Can you say an iPad wasn't necessary?
No, I did. You can use it with your PC. You can use it with your
Bluetooth,
Windows,
right?
Surface. It's a Bluetooth controller. It does not work.
Play Android. Yeah.
No, it does not work with Android tablets yet. There might be something by then.
But, yeah.
Hey, all of you out there,
dude,
you're good at programming. Make an Android try for that.
Please, because freaking amazing.
Just saying.
So. I gotta say, but so I picked up two cases.
I think that's going to help.
That was
nice. I like that.
Keep that. So this is why we love Amazon's automatic pricing, because I'm sure what was happening was nobody was buying, and the price kept dropping and dropping. And then all of a sudden the computer went, hey, we gotta really move these things and drop them to $6 Prime. So that means free delivery for
$6.
So for a case, it cost them more to ship me this case than it did for
the
solid expense. Yep. Oh no, they quickly realized their error and took them off the market. So, but I did buy two cases for
you. You'll soon see them at the dollar store.
Yes!
JJ!
Dude!
What's the topic?
The console or game that changed your gaming life.
The system for top game console.
Or we've been combining both the console
and the game. How did the Dreamcast?
Yeah!
Nice ball!
Yeah!
Nice
because I remember on the certain models you could burn the games onto a burn
literally all
burnable scene.
Yeah. So the big change in your gaming was you became a pirate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Higher. Oh, I am the mighty pirate.
That defined the broad
switchblade bandit.
It really did.
So that there, it's also the start of your criminal activity.
Yes.
Okay. But that is a change. Yes.
That is a change.
No. Starts with pirated games. I guess with DS.
Who knows what? Next thing you know, I'm smuggling butt plugs on my way.
He's a bag.
What?
What?
Did I say that?
I thought you got out of that.
Anyway,
back to the Dreamcast.
No, rare bugs, he said. He'll be smuggling rare bugs.
Rare bugs. Very rare bugs.
Rare bugs.
Black market pets.
That might be worse.
Can you give me a what?
Yeah.
Here.
What's that?
Either way,
no worms.
Probably illegal.
Either way, there's still some up
maybe
your ass.
Maybe worms.
There's still some up your ass. So, I mean,
something.
Really,
Anyway, go.
In general.
But the Dreamcast.
I love Sonic Adventure.
Yes.
Sure.
And they had the first-person Gundam game.
Yeah.
Battle Assault. S-07. Zero Story. I don't care what it was.
Gundam Side Story.
Yes. Side Story. That's what it was. 0078.
The number.
The Shenmue series.
Oh my god! Don't fucking talk to me about that.
Sorry.
And that was not a game. It was a job.
Don't even get me started on the newer Echo the Dolphin games.
Like, seriously, one of the most epic stories
JK!
I've ever
played. I love Echo the Dolphin.
And now it's like
the Dreamcast one.
That was like the
predecessor.
Like
I'm good.
I'm
good.
Open world.
I can be heard.
All right.
Peered.
Kill hookers.
Can't be seen.
Oh, wait. No, that wasn't.
No.
Yeah.
And of course, Crazy Taxi.
Crazy
Taxi. I mean, that's pretty much merch.
Laura has an unhealthy obsession with Crazy Taxi.
I did that.
So,
I got it for free on the Android market a little while ago.
That's
good. Yeah.
Yeah, that was nice.
I posted it on our page.
Yeah.
You should have seen that everywhere.
So, if you liked our page, then you saw it. But if you didn't, then,
you're
start watching
our
shit, huh?
Right?
We're funny and stuff. Right, Tom? And stuff. Yes.
Especially the stuff.
And
mostly
stuff.
The stuff. Rolling on, Travis.
Okay, as for me, and like I was really afraid that we were getting really close to touching on it, my definitely definitive experience was the original Half-Life. And I did not know what a gem I had
Half-Life.
Until it became to the system being the most modded game in like history.
Yeah.
And it was like a lot in the late 90s, early 2000s, like there was everyone, and like that continued on the Source Engine and made, well then Sierra Games, then bought out by Valve and all that jazz into what it is today and turned into the Source Engine, but like the original models.
I know what you mean.
I mean like buying one game, and then spending 20, 30, 40 hours just downloading like hundreds of different mods, Sven Co-op, Brain Bread, Counter-Strike, which was originally a mod for Half-Life.
Oh shit,
You know, there's like Natural Selection,
Team Fortress
Classic. Team Fortress Classic.
Yeah.
Those,
yeah.
Those,
well,
those
technically Team Fortress was a Quake mod to begin with. But,
right,
but that's your point.
But it gained its popularity.
Yeah, no, Team Fortress Classic was the seminal.
Right.
Yeah. Yes,
Half-Life.
And then Team Fortress 2 took literally a decade to occur.
But it was just like, it's not only because there were so many games that branched off of that, and like, since the only original Half-Life, like when Steam first came out, and like even before then, you could just get every mod for free.
Yeah.
Like, being a cheap teenager.
The Giant Mod Community predates Steam,
yeah,
no doubt.
Exactly.
Did
Blue
Shift start as a mod as well?
Yes.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
And
yeah,
there was another one too, I forget.
That was good, I loved it.
But not only that, it really taught me just the basics of tweaking and tweaking around with computers. It really did. Because A, I would break a lot of shit and would have to fix it. And B, it was a lot of, basics and, changing files and configurations and things like that. It was general troubleshooting skills that I really grew off. And it was a lot to learn.
It made gaming a job.
It really did. Yeah, because I had to, like, change the configuration files each time I wanted to load up a new mod. That was great. Yeah, so I learned a lot from it, and, like, I seriously can't think if there's anything as pivotal as the original Half-Life on the
podcast.
I don't agree with
Trans. Hope that's not personal, because the mic's picking up everything.
Yeah, I know that.
I'm sorry, I'm doing a lot.
Well, you're talking about, like, you know, so
I'm trying to guess Laura's
game. So later, I want to wear an outfit.
I'm trying to guess Laura's game seconds before she says it.
All right, it's time, though. We're going to find out what Laura has to say.
Okay, it's not that, like, epic or mind-blowing or anything, but for the N64, the original Mario Party.
Oh, just kidding. It was mind-blowing, guys.
Because...
Well...
When you're little, when I'm like, when I was like, I don't know, like 9 or something when that game came out, and we got an N64, and we rented it from Blockbuster. Back when Blockbuster was still a thing. And it was really awesome. And Mario Party, when you're little, could like solve arcades, you know? Like if you like, you're a stupid
or start
head.
Them.
Or start them. No, you're a stupid head. Well, we're going to solve this over Mario Party. And it was the only game that my mom would play with me. So,
that's
she didn't really like video games. She liked Mario Party. And it was so, like, one of a kind when it first came out.
Because you had, before that, you had, like, Monopoly and, you know, board games.
Yeah,
but
it's, like,
this turned it into a real
I
game.
You're right, I never guessed that.
And that was great because there was no one to be mad at. Like, you know, because in board games there's always someone to
my own
like, regulate.
For the game.
And that's why there's no way to be mad at because you could just be like, oh, no, fuck.
And you're always talking crap.
Yep,
it's a good game to talk crap to your neighbor.
Even Peach was a computer.
You enjoy it for more than 3 times.
And Luigi's unbeatable.
Yeah.
Yep, You can't beat that Ouija. Can't beat that Ouija.
All right.
Yes.
Wow, actually, we got through the topic except for you.
We got through the topic. Yeah.
Yeah. Justin.
No, wait, he was over
here. I was just over here.
Talking toaster.
You went.
There you go, brother.
All right.
Rob,
you have to go. All
right, I'm going to go with Final Fantasy VII. I played the others.
Ooh.
Before then, adventure games, the only thing I was really interested in was stuff like Ultima, you know, like the classic adventure games. I played the other Final Fantasy games, they were okay, but when I hit 7, that was a mind-blowing event. That was a game that actually had a storyline where you actually cared about the characters.
Albeit right? Still poorly translated.
And so I played it first on, I didn't play it on the PlayStation, I played it on the PC first, which is hilarious.
Really?
Like 8 people owned it on
the
PC.
The Ken Simon was released.
I don't remember.
I know, like 8 people owned it on the PC because it's 42 CDs.
I was waving it out.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it was like 42 CDs. You open this thing up and it was another book.
Wow.
This is ridiculous.
No,
but yeah.
I don't remember that. I just remember being on the,
I loved the hell out of that game, and I finished it, which was really rare for me in these adventure games at the time, other than Ultima, which...
Formative for you, though, given that it was the late 90s?
Shut up.
I mean, you'd already been
Yeah,
this so long.
Yeah, because before that, JRPGs were nothing.
Shut up,
yeah.
Also, it had
I've never heard you talk about JRPG since.
Yeah, I very seldom care, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the only
the fake ones.
I mean, that was pretty much the most popular JRPG in the West in history.
That's
like,
true.
Yeah.
No,
I have played none of them except for that one.
Yeah.
So,
right?
Yeah.
Because 8 lost me again. I was just done after.
I thought after I played 7, I was like, this seems like a game I'm going to love. And then, like, 5 minutes into 8, I was like, bored.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Many people love 8.
Nobody loves
8.
Who the hell's 12?
I played
a
bunch of 11.
A lot of people.
Randomly.
I think I got to the beach.
And then the last one was there.
But see, obviously the first half was awesome. And then fucking, yeah.
7 also.
Garden battle.
All right.
Yeah. Turns to,
wait.
Like, this is just
I like the card
insane.
Game from 8.
I love this.
That's what
looks
yes.
Like
yes.
Yes.
All right. Let's close this out, Rob.
I didn't play it. I think I did play it.
All right. Gentlemen.
Thanks for watching, guys, Games and Beer. I hope you had a great time. Don't forget to visit us on our website, www.guysgamesandbeer.net. Well, friend us on Facebook. There's lots of people on Facebook. We have lots of fun there. Free games.
It gets you drunk. Swipe
right,
baby.
If you lick the screen, you'll get drunk.
True.
That's true.
True story.
All right.
Come visit us at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. Win free games on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer.